Welcome to episode 23 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and today I have a good full-length episode for you. We'll have a grammar lesson, a small talk topic, the joke of the week, vocabulary, a listening quiz, and more. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found on the Apple iTunes Store and in the Stitcher app. If you like the podcast, subscribe to it and give it a good review. Of course, I hope you will do more than subscribe to it and leave it a good review. I hope you will join in the podcast. I want to hear your questions. I want to hear your suggestions. I want to hear you speaking English. So send all of this to everybodyesl@gmail.com. And now, before we get to this episode, I just want to say that Tokyo is no longer the champion city. Now, the city where more of my listeners live is Seoul, South Korea. Congratulations, Seoul. And Tokyo, don't give up. Keep listening. Okay, now let's get on with this episode. Today's grammar topic is adverbs, specifically three special adverbs. Those adverbs are here, there, and home. Now, why are these special? What's different about them? Well, when we use here, there, and home, we never use a preposition to. So we don't say, I'm going to there, or I'm going to here, or I'm leaving work and going to home now. For some reason, and I don't know what the reason is, but for some reason, when we use here, there, and home, we never use the preposition to. So we don't say, I'm going to home now. We say, I'm going home now. It doesn't work that way when we use the noun house. I can say, I'm going to my house now. That's okay. But when we use home, it is an adverb that does not work with the preposition to. And the same is true for here and there. Now here's a way that here and there are different from home. I can use the preposition at when I use home. I can say, I spent my weekend at home. But I can't use the preposition at with here and there. So I can't say, I've been at here all day. Oh, I heard that you went to Paris last summer. Did you have a good time at there? We can't say that. We can't use at with here and there. But we can use at with home. There's one other word that I can think of that works in a similar way, and it's a little surprising to me. And that word is downtown. When we use downtown as an adverb, we never use it with to or at. So in that way, downtown works like here and there. I can say, I'm taking a bus downtown. But I can't say, I'm taking a bus to downtown. I can say, I spent all morning downtown going to museums. But I can't say, I spent all morning at downtown going to museums. I'll bet there are some other words like that. Well, maybe uptown works the same way. But something tells me that there are others that I just can't think of right now. If you can think of them, send them to me. I want to know about them. Send them to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Today's vocabulary is all about dogs. I realized that a little while ago I did a vocabulary list about cats, but I never got around to doing words about dogs. So today is the time for the dogs. And the first word on our dog vocabulary list is canine. C-A-N-I-N-E. Canine. Canine means having to do with dogs or like a dog. We even have teeth that are referred to as canine teeth. Those are the teeth near our front teeth in the middle on top that are a little bit longer and pointier than the other teeth. Those are our canine teeth. I guess they kind of look like dog or wolf teeth. The next word on the list is a word I'll bet most of you know. Puppy. P-U-P-P-Y. A puppy is a baby dog. And often people will use puppy as an affectionate way of talking about their own dogs, even if their dog is no longer a baby. Even if their dog is a full-grown adult, they might still call their dog a puppy. The next word on the list is mutt. M-U-T-T. A mutt is like a mixture. It's not a pure breed. It's a dog who has a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Maybe the dog's mother was a golden retriever. That's one breed of dog. And maybe the dog's father was a German shepherd. We would call that dog a mutt. It's not all this or all that. It's a blend. It's a mixture. The next word is fetch. F-E-T-C-H. To fetch something means to go get it and bring it back. And many dogs really enjoy fetching. Or sometimes we say they enjoy playing fetch. So sometimes we treat fetch as a verb, and sometimes we treat it as a noun, the name of a game. So to fetch means to go get something and bring it back. You might throw a tennis ball, and your dog might run after the tennis ball, pick it up in its mouth, and run back and give it to you, or run back and not give it to you, which can be very frustrating. Do you know what we sometimes call a dog's nose, or another animal's nose that has a similar shape? We call a nose that sticks out like that a snout, S-N-O-U-T. That's a nose that sticks out or pokes out from the face. Most dogs have snouts. Some dogs don't have that kind of nose. They have noses that are more flat or faces that are more flat. But when I think of a dog like a poodle or a German shepherd or a golden retriever or a beagle or a Dalmatian, many other dogs have snouts. How about loyal? L-O-Y-A-L. Loyal means reliable, true. A loyal friend stays with you, even when things get difficult. A loyal friend is on your side. A loyal friend always helps you and believes in you. And we often think of dogs as being very loyal animals. If a dog is your friend, the dog will always be your friend. The dog always wants to help you and be with you. In fact, that quality of being loyal is why dogs are sometimes called man's best friend. This is kind of an old expression, so even though it says man's best friend, it really means people, human, mankind. So dogs are human's best friend. Do you know what it means to describe somebody as a dog person? A dog person is somebody who especially likes dogs. And I think usually when we say dog person, we mean somebody who likes dogs more than cats. And a cat person is somebody who likes cats more than dogs. It's almost like we divide the whole world up into one group or another, one team or another. Either you prefer dogs or you prefer cats. Many people like dogs and cats, and I'm sure there are some people who don't like dogs or cats. And in case you wanted to know, I am definitely a dog person. The last word on our dog-related vocabulary list is trick, T-R-I-C-K. Now, trick is a verb meaning to fool somebody, to deceive somebody, to make someone believe something that isn't true. But I'm thinking here of the noun trick. A trick is a special skill or a special behavior, a special thing you know how to do. People often teach their dogs tricks. They might teach their dog to sit down on command. So when they say sit, the dog can sit. Or stay, meaning stay where you are, don't follow me. Or even speak, meaning bark. There's also an old expression that uses this word, trick. We say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Now, literally, that means if a dog is old, you can't expect it to learn a new trick. But when we use it, what we really mean is old people can't change. I don't think that's true, but that's the expression. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. All right, well, that is your dog-related vocabulary list for today. Let's see if you have the opportunity to use these words soon. Today's small talk lesson is all about being in a restaurant. And there are a few situations I want to tell you how to handle. Here's the first situation. You have ordered something from the waiter or the waitress, and you have waited, and now your food has arrived. But it's the wrong food. It's not what you ordered. You ordered the lasagna, and instead, the waiter has brought you a big salad. So that's a mistake. What do you do when this kind of mistake happens? Well, what you should say is, excuse me, this isn't what I ordered. Excuse me, this isn't what I ordered. Or, excuse me, I don't think this is what I ordered. Now, we've talked about this before in these small talk segments. Often, we use especially polite language in these situations. That's why people might say, excuse me, I don't think this is what I ordered, even if they know for a fact that they ordered the lasagna and not a big salad. Still, we often will be extra polite in these kinds of situations. Excuse me, I don't think this is what I ordered, or this isn't what I ordered. I ordered the lasagna. And what will happen after you say that is the waiter or the waitress will say, oh, I'm so sorry. I will take care of that right away. I apologize. Okay, situation number two. You have ordered your food from the waiter or the waitress. You waited, and the waiter or the waitress has brought your food. They brought the right food. You ordered the lasagna, and that's what they brought, lasagna. But something's wrong with this lasagna. It's too cold, or there's some strange taste. What do you do in that situation? In that situation, you can say, excuse me, there's something wrong with this lasagna. Excuse me, there's something wrong with my food. Excuse me, there's something wrong with my dinner. And then you can tell them what's wrong. This tastes funny. Or I think there's too much pepper in here. Or this is cold. And it's always okay to make a complaint like this. But of course, you should always be polite and friendly. It's probably not the waiter or the waitress's fault that there was a mistake. So you don't want that person to feel bad. But it is okay to make this kind of complaint, as long as you are friendly. And I'm sure you would be friendly. Now here's the last situation I want to tell you about. You have had your dinner, or your lunch, or your breakfast, whatever it is you're having, you're done eating, and you're ready to pay and leave. What do you do? What if you don't even know where your waiter or waitress is? What do you do? Well, you wait until you can get the attention of your waiter or waitress, or any waiter or waitress in the restaurant, and you can say, yes, I would like the check now. Yes, I would like the check now. That means I'm ready for you to give me the check, the slip of paper that shows how much I have to pay. So you can say, excuse me, yes, I'm ready for the check now. Or, I'm ready to pay now. Either of those will be fine. And the waiter or waitress will bring you your check and you will be able to pay and leave. Now, I'm not going to talk about tipping because that's not really a language topic, and also it can get very complicated. Just know that if you are in or planning to visit the United States, you will have to learn about tipping rules and tipping customs. It can get complicated, but it is important. Okay, well, that is our small talk or social situation lesson for this episode. And now it's time for the joke of the week. Nobody's favorite part of the podcast, but I'm going to keep doing these jokes of the week because I think they give us interesting English lessons, even if they're not very funny. Well, here is this week's joke. Why should you never write with a dull pencil? Why should you never write with a dull pencil? First of all, do you know what dull means here? Dull, D-U-L-L. Well, dull means boring, uninteresting. You might watch a dull movie, or you might have a dull conversation with somebody. But dull also means not sharp. It means rounded. So a pencil might be sharp. It has a point on the end. Or it could be dull. It has a rounded end. Why should you never write with a dull pencil? The answer is because it's pointless. Okay, why is that funny? Why is it interesting? Why did I choose this as the joke of the week? Well, the answer is because pointless means two different things. In this case, it sounds like it could mean having no point, not being sharp, being round, like a pencil could have a point or not have a point. It could be pointless. But pointless also means having no reason, having no meaning, having no purpose. You might find yourself in a meeting at work that seems pointless. Why are you even having this meeting? Nothing interesting is going on. Nothing important is going on. No decisions are being made. What is the point of it? What's the reason? What's the purpose? It has no point. It's pointless. So that's why this is supposed to be a joke and why I chose it, because pointless means two different things. It means not sharp, and it means having no reason or having no purpose. Why should you never write with a dull pencil? Because it's pointless. No, not very funny, but I still think it gives us something interesting to notice about English and think about. Now it's time for this episode's listening quiz. Like I do every time, I will read a short story twice. The first time I read it, I will read it quickly, at the same speed I might use if I was talking to a friend. And the second time I read it, I will read it much more slowly, and it might be easier for you to follow along the second time. When I'm done reading the story two times, I will ask three questions, and you can test yourself to see how much of the story you understood. Okay, let's get started. This is the faster time. Rebecca loves working in the library. She loves helping out with the children's story hour. She loves helping people find good books to read. She even loves the way the books smell. There's one thing about working in the library that Rebecca doesn't like, and that is dealing with the book drop. That's the place where people return their library books if they don't have time to come inside the library. They can also use the book drop when the library is closed. Rebecca doesn't like collecting books from the book drop because the books are heavy. Sometimes when she comes to work in the morning, she finds as many as 50 books in the book drop. The library has a cart she can use, but it doesn't work very well. The wheels of the cart don't turn well, and they make a horrible squeaking sound. But Rebecca still hopes she can keep working at the library for a long time. Okay, how was that? Was that too fast? Was it okay? Well, let's try it again, this time much more slowly. Rebecca loves working in the library. She loves helping out with the children's story hour. She loves helping people find good books to read. She even loves the way the books smell. There's one thing about working in the library that Rebecca doesn't like, and that is dealing with the book drop. That's the place where people return their library books if they don't have time to come inside the library. They can also use the book drop when the library is closed. Rebecca doesn't like collecting books from the book drop because the books are heavy. Sometimes, when she comes to work in the morning, she finds as many as 50 books in the book drop. The library has a cart she can use, but it doesn't work very well. The wheels of the cart don't turn well, and they make a horrible squeaking sound. But Rebecca still hopes she can keep working in the library for a long time. Okay, was it a little bit easier that time? A little bit easier to follow along? Let's see how you do with these three questions. Number one, where does Rebecca work? Number two, what is the one part of her job Rebecca doesn't like? And number three, how can Rebecca make that one part of her job a little easier? Okay, if you want to go back and listen to it again, that's okay. If you want to stop here and think about it for a minute, that's okay too. Just come back when you're ready to hear the answers. And here are the answers. Question one, where does Rebecca work? Rebecca works at the library. Question two, what is the one part of her job Rebecca doesn't like? Rebecca doesn't like collecting books from the book drop. And question three, how can Rebecca make that one part of her job a little easier? There is a cart that Rebecca can use when she collects books from the book drop. Okay, so how did you do? And that's the end of episode 23 of Everybody ESL. I hope you learned a lot. I hope you have a lot of good vocabulary and new expressions to practice. If you have any questions at all about English, anything that you have learned in this episode or a previous episode, or anything you would like me to talk about in a future episode, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with a mini episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.